Sitting in the abandoned emergency room, the team of investigators noticed a strong smell instantly envelop them. It was the smell of tobacco, or, more specifically, the smell of sweet tobacco emanating from a pipe. No one on the team was smoking, and vaping is not allowed on the historic medical campus near Chattanooga, Tennessee. Instinctively, an investigator turned on her flashlight. A large puff of what looked like recently exhaled smoke was caught floating in the beam of light. The investigators looked at each other. It was obvious the source of the smoke wasn't coming from anywhere in the room, at least not physically. Soon after, a second puff of smoke appeared, and that's when investigators realized that what they were seeing was likely the exhaled smoke of Dr. Vincent Taylor Sr., the man who helped found Old South Pittsburgh Hospital in Tennessee, and who had been dead since 1965. I'm Steve Blanchard. Welcome to Phantom History. In 1959, a new hospital at the foothill of South Pittsburgh Mountain in Tennessee opened its doors. The South Pittsburgh Municipal Hospital, or SPMH, was 68,000 square feet and not only met the medical needs of the local and growing community, but served as a gathering place for locals. It operated as a hospital for nearly 40 years before closing its doors permanently in 1998, when a newer and more modern hospital nearby began accepting patients. It spent a few years as a drug and alcohol treatment facility, which utilized its third floor, and it also had a psych treatment area that remained functional for 2 years after the hospital closed. Eventually, those remaining patients were transferred to Chattanooga, and the hospital was finally completely empty at the beginning of the new millennium. According to the owner of the building, Ronnie D., the designs of the ever-expanding hospital during its growing period were unusual, to say the least. The morgue, for example, wasn't a true morgue. It was more of a storage space, according to Ronnie.
We didn't really have a morgue. We had a holding facility, which we called the Body Box. Basically, it's kind of a unique location because it's off the ladies' bathroom in the ER waiting room. So you're basically, as a lady, going, doing your business in the bathroom, not realizing that there's a thin wall between you and a holder that's holding up to four dead bodies. There was only one way in and out of that body box, is what we call it, and it's an exterior door. And what's even more odd about it is the exterior door, and we'll get into something else that's really odd about the hospital, but the exterior door actually faces physical therapy. So the physical therapy wing has windows in it, and it's actually overlooking the body box. So imagine that, you know, you've had a heart attack or you've had some ailment that you've got to be physical and you've got to get on a treadmill or do whatever. And here comes the mortician opening up a door and pulling a dead body out as you're working to better your health. One thing that's really, really bizarre about the hospital that I still scratch my head at is that the incinerator, where they would burn body parts or, you know, when they take a tumor out or whatever, was directly outside the cafeteria windows. As you're eating lunch or you're doing whatever, the incinerator is on a cement pad that is directly across from the windows of where you and your family are having breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Really kind of a unique design. The hospital grew. There wasn't a lot of land for them to do things on. So they start putting things in locations that today would make you really scratch your head. Yeah, the incinerator pad is directly outside the cafeteria. I mean, sitting right there.
The odd configuration was funded by the local community, who helped supply the hospital with the technologies of the day and would actively raise money to assist with the expansion throughout its 40-year life. It did, after all, serve all of Marion County, Tennessee, and its surrounding communities. Malevolence doesn't seem to be a factor in the hospital, at least not often. Ronnie says there have been very few times that investigators have encountered something dark, but he admits he did have a scary run-in with an unseen entity early on.
We were at what's called the crossroads. It's kind of where the Tri-City Clinic meets up with the new area of the hospital. And we were sitting down, and I had somebody whisper in my ear, "Get out." And then I felt kind of a touch to my neck, and I had like what looked like a handprint on my neck. Now, in my opinion, it wasn't anything malevolent or demon or anything like that. We were asking questions. It was the middle of the night. In my opinion, it was either a patient or a nurse or a doctor saying, "Hey, cool it. It's time to go somewhere else."
Ronnie isn't the only investigator to have experienced a forceful spirit at the location. Steve Nelson, a paranormal investigator who now lives in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, said he had an unforgettable encounter with something in the basement of the building back when he investigated in 2015.
Whenever it got late, we went down into the boiler room, and I was walking around down there with my brother-in-law, and the only thing I could see was the screen on my camcorder. And we were walking through a really dark hallway, and I seen on the ground there was a pinnacle drawn out on the ground. And whenever I looked down to look at that, my back started burning really bad. And I told my brother to shine the light on it and take a picture of it. And there was 3 scratch marks all the way from the top of my back to the bottom. And it burned, though. It didn't feel like a scratch. It just burned really bad. And, you know, we walked around down there for a little bit, and then I started feeling really tired and nauseous and stuff. So I was like, let's step outside and get fresh breath of air, you know. And whenever we did, I had 3 marks on my neck that I didn't feel.
Fortunately, reports of physical injury or physical encounters are rare at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. Most visitors and investigators report hearing strange noises throughout the building or catching glimpses of shadows and apparitions both on security cameras, camcorders, and sometimes even with their own eyes. During his investigation in 2015, Steve said his investigative team accidentally caught an apparition of a nurse on camera during a casual phone call.
Before we even started and conducted our investigation, we were walking around the place during the day, and my sister, she was doing Marco Polo. I don't know if you know that app or not, but she was doing that with my father. It was a video, and she was walking up and down the hallways. She captured a full-bodied apparition. In the video, it shows a nurse walking out, and you can tell because of the hat, the nurse hat and everything. She had the dress on and everything. Whenever she moved, it was clear. She walked out past her and then turned around and went back into one of the rooms. And that was before we even conducted our investigation. And to get a full-bodied apparition like that during the day, that is very rare. We were in the hallway right off the main entrance.
Ronnie believes that there is a mix of residual and intelligent spirits at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. He, too, has encountered former staff and remembers very clearly the first time he saw a full-bodied apparition on the 3rd floor. In fact, he says it was that encounter that inspired him to purchase the building.
A buddy of mine and I were up on the 3rd floor, and we were doing an investigation. That's where the maternity ward was. Out of the corner of our eye, we both saw a nurse, as plain as day, walk right towards us, kind of stop, look us in the eyes, walk past us, and then open up a door and just disappear. I think it was such a shock and awe that you know what I mean? That you don't really take note of. You saw what you saw, but it was kind of that blur. You know what I mean? Kind of like when you get in a car crash and, you know, you remember getting in the car crash, but you don't remember the details because it's just such a shock. Or that the other investigator was with me. And you know, one of the general rules of investigating is you never leave your investigator. He was gone. It was so funny. I reached over to grab him because I was scared. I'm not going to lie. And I reached over to grab him. He was gone. He was like in the break room. And one of the things that is neat about our group when we were together is that we never told each other what evidence we got or saw. We always went to the room and we kind of either drew it or described it on a piece of paper and then switched pieces of paper, because this way we don't influence each other in terms of what we see. And so he ended up drawing what we saw and talked about it. We flipped pieces of paper around and we both saw the same thing, and that convinced me. Because like I said, we didn't talk about it at all until we got into the break room and then wrote it down on paper. Because as a group, we didn't want to manipulate each other's kind of thoughts or processes or what we seen. So it worked out very well that way. That was my first experience with a full-body apparition. That was not only a full-body apparition, but it was intelligent. She looked at us like with that evil, like kind of like, look in her eyes, like, what are you doing? Like, it's past, you know, visiting hours. You know, what are you doing on my floor? And I just remember that was the morning I went to the owners and I said, I need to buy this place. I want this, because it was such an amazing discovery for me. And that was the day that really solidified my belief in the paranormal, because like I said, it was not only a full body apparition, but the intelligence of that nurse to actually give me that look to say, like, you know, close, you know, or, you know, visiting hours are over, you know, it's time for you to move on. It was just really neat.
After purchasing the building, Ronnie changed the name of the hospital to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital Paranormal Research Center. Investigations and ghost tours are held there regularly, and Ronnie sees it as an opportunity to constantly investigate the paranormal. Each new investigation leads to more evidence, he said, and that only inspires him to dig deeper into the unknown.
It's a very, very active location. As a matter of fact, we had a group in there just this last weekend, and it was great because they came very skeptical. You know, it was funny. It was a husband-wife, and they had come in, and first thing she said is, you know, I don't believe in this. This building's not haunted, blah, blah, blah. As they're actually walking through one of the hallways, the door behind them slammed shut. And she turned around and she jumped and she goes, oh my gosh. And our tour guide, Heather, you know, was actually walking down the hall. And she goes, so what do you think now? And she's like, And then as they're walking a little more ways, they hear disembodied voices. And the lady says, what was that? And Heather says, they're proving to you they're here. And then as they're doing their investigation later on in the evening, they're up on the third floor, which was our surgical suites, as well as our psychiatric and drug and alcohol treatment area. We got some amazing evidence on camera where they were walking through a doorway and you can actually see a ghostly figure follow them through the doorway and then just disappear. Caught it all on camera. It is really, really kind of amazing. So, as a believer in the paranormal, which I've been for quite some time, I mean, the place is just, you know, and there's days where, you know, you're in the hospital and you're walking around going, is this place really haunted? And, you know, nothing happens. And, you know, as a paranormal investigator, you can go a whole day and not have any activity at all. And you kind of start doubting things. And then I'll walk in the next day to, you know, fix a roof leak or do something like that. And you hear things moving around. You hear somebody talking to you. And you're the only one in the building. And you're like, oh, I guess this place really is haunted.
During his investigation in 2015, Steve admits that he didn't get a chance to explore the hospital in its entirety. He also said that some areas were much more active than others, which seems to be par for the course of most haunted locations. While the former hospital may not be as large as today's modern hospitals, it is still a large building with multiple levels to explore. Steve believes that it's more than just former nurses, doctors, and patients who roam the halls. He believes his overnight investigation uncovered spirits who were at one time human, and possibly some who never were.
It's very, very big. Huge. I mean, I wasn't even able to cover the entire place during my investigation. Throughout the investigation, I mean, it was just a continuous thing because I had a DVR system set up. I had cameras set up everywhere. And we were getting constant orbs. We were getting things moved around. Down in the boiler room and basement. That's where we wanted to be because we wasn't really getting anything anywhere else. And we went back down there, and that's where the janitor was, and he hung himself down there. There was a table down there that had a deck of cards and stuff like that. That was originally his. That was still there on that table. So I set my camera up, fully charged on my tripod, set up an EVP, and we were talking like we were wanting to sit and play a card game with him. And we got grid A EVPs from that, and my battery on my camcorder went automatically dead. And I don't know if it was bolts, screws, or rocks or something, but they were being thrown at, it was like a big shop fan. It was like stuff just being thrown up against it out of nowhere. But you can see the stuff flying and hitting, but you couldn't see where it was coming from. And you could hear it was really loud, yeah. Personally, my opinion, I don't think that was human.
Ronnie is less convinced that there is anything too dark in the building, and despite rumors of the land upon which the hospital sits was once a battlefield or Native American sacred space, there is yet to be any archaeological evidence to support that. One instance in particular made Ronnie a believer that the former staff and patients of Old South Pittsburgh Hospital are still around. He says it's the most convincing evidence he's ever seen that there is life after death.
We had a doctor. His name was Dr. Taylor. He was one of the original doctors of the building. He helped secure the funding, his design of the building. He was a graduate from Vanderbilt University. He was in the top 5% of his class. And he was a pipe smoker, like an avid pipe smoker. And if you remember back in the old days, it was legal to smoke everywhere. I mean, you could smoke in hospitals, you could smoke everywhere. Well, Dr. Taylor was known to actually smoke throughout the hospital. And he was a pipe smoker. And if you actually pull up his name and look at his pictures, he's always got a pipe either in his mouth or his hand. And a lot of times when he would do his rounds at the hospital and somebody was not taking their medical treatment the way they should, he would take his pipe and he'd smack it in his hand and he'd say, "I told you, you blah, blah, blah." So anyways, a phenomenon started happening at the hospital about a year and a half to 2 years ago, where all of a sudden we would be doing an investigation and you would smell this really sweet smell of tobacco. And now remember, we don't allow vaping or smoking or anything like that in the hospital because, number one, it's a fire issue. But number two, because we don't want to contaminate any evidence that might come up. So it was really unique. So we're sitting in the ER waiting area and all of a sudden this, you can smell it. So one of the girls, her name is Brooke, decides to turn her flashlight on, and she turns her flashlight on and you can see this huge puff of smoke. It looked like somebody just blew it out of their mouth and it kind of floats like smoke does and just kind of fades away. And all of a sudden it appears again. And this has been going on in Old South Pittsburgh for probably the last year and a half to 2 years. We have had all sorts of groups come in, have it happen, experience them. We've got videos of it, pictures of it. We can't figure it out. I actually had a public investigation where we had 15 people in the ER waiting room. We were doing an Estes method. We all kind of sit in a circle and then somebody sits in the body box and does the Estes method. And he was out and he was going from person to person. And you could see the smoke trail.
Ronnie believes the entire building is haunted and that the spiritual energy can be found everywhere, although at different times. Those hauntings also present in different ways, whether it's an apparition, a voice, smoke, or even mimicking the physical appearance of current members of the hospital staff or visiting investigators. Ronnie himself has been the target of those mimicking spirits, he said, and not only will he hear his name get called from throughout the hospital, but others will say that they have heard his voice or even seen him in certain areas, even when he's physically located elsewhere in the building or even out of state.
I could be in the middle of the lobby and hear somebody call out my name. We've got a couple of spirits that are really kind of cool in the building or residents in the building that they will actually mimic your voice. We've had volunteers like who will be working and I'm in Chicago, working up in Chicago. And they're like, "I could swear, Ronnie, that I heard you tell me to do something." And they're like, "Nope, I wasn't there." As a matter of fact, we had a public investigation one evening. And when we do the public investigations, I generally stayed on the first floor because I don't want people as a building owner. It's really, really important to me that when people get an experience, that there's no way for them to be like, "Oh, well, the owner's walking around the building and only God knows what he's got planted and that kind of stuff." So I make sure I stay at the front of the building. This way, when somebody has an experience, they can't point fingers and be like, "Oh, this is all rigged." So it was really funny. So one night I was at the front of the building and I don't usually go to the third floor. I just stay off there. There was a group up there and it was a public investigation. One of the ladies took a picture and they were using a laser grid. And in the laser grid, you can see me perfectly. Even the clothes I was wearing that night and everything. And she comes downstairs and she shows me the picture with a timestamp on it. And she says to me, "Well, why, when you came upstairs, why didn't you say hi to everybody?" And I said, "Honey, I was never upstairs." And she says, "No, that's you." And she showed me the picture and it was beard, t-shirt, everything to the T. So we pulled the security cameras out. I showed her the footage. I'm like, "Here's the timestamp on your picture. And here's the timestamp of me. And this is where I'm sitting." And she looked at me and she goes, "Holy cow." I was sitting at the front door and the security cameras had me the whole time on video. And I was like, "Yeah, that wasn't me. I was down here with my staff." And she was like, "Whoa." And we get a lot of that, a lot of pictures of other staff members who are in a different location of the building or even voices. And I know a couple of our volunteers kind of named this resident the Jokester because he likes to play jokes on people and do stuff like that. So it's really kind of neat.
Tricksters, doctors, nurses, and maybe some patients still linger at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. And that's why investigative teams from throughout the country clamor to investigate it for themselves. It's also the perfect location to collect research, which is Ronnie's goal with the building. But why is it so active? The land doesn't seem to have any link to the supernatural, and the building itself was once a community endeavor that, sure, had its fair share of tragic deaths, but it was a safe space for so many, both ill and well. Ronnie believes he knows why Old South Pittsburgh Hospital is one of the most haunted locations in Tennessee.
I think we got a myriad of everything. I think everything from patients to doctors to, you know, everybody. I think there's just so much. And what's really neat, and this is one thing that I always talk about when somebody comes through, because I really do love my locations, is hospitals are the only place in the world where everything happens from birth to death and everything in between. So you're talking about a location that's served the community for, you know, 40 some plus years, almost 50 years. And all of that energy is trapped in those walls. And, you know, when you're in a hospital, there are so many different emotions. There's a baby being born, and you're talking about the great, one of the greatest experiences a human can have is, you know, birthing a son or a daughter. But then on the other side, you've got, you know, grandfather or tragedy that happens in that same location. And that all gets trapped. You know, that energy is still stuck in that building. So you're talking about, you know, buildings that can maintain that energy for many, many, many years. Plus, you put, like we talked about earlier, we put a location in that was so community orientated, and everybody in the community was part of that hospital, the doctors, the nurses, everybody. It was such a tight-knit community. So when somebody passes away, who's to say that they don't stay around to watch loved ones, to care for loved ones, and that kind of thing? And when you work as many hours as the healthcare professionals did in the past, you know, that's their home. That's the place that they really, really have spent the majority of their lives. So, yeah, so I believe they're still doing their work. I still believe that a lot of that stuff still goes on.
Thank you to Ronnie D., the owner of the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital Paranormal Research Center, and paranormal investigator Steve Nelson for the insight for this episode. To learn more about the hospital or to request a tour or an investigation, visit osphpc.com. This episode was researched, written, edited, and recorded by me, Steve Blanchard, at the Phantom History House Bed and Breakfast Experience in Tampa, Florida. Music was provided by Chad Crouch, Purple Planet Music, Antonio Bizarro, and Daniel Birch. For full interviews from this episode and other episodes of Phantom History, the podcast, consider visiting our YouTube channel, where you will also find on-site videos of abandoned, historic, and haunted locations, and more. Please consider giving Phantom History a 5-star review on whatever platform you enjoy podcasts, and visit phantomhistory.com to sign up for our newsletter. There you will get updates on events, upcoming episodes, and goings-on at the Bed and Breakfast Experience in Florida. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and now Snapchat. If you have a paranormal experience to share or a location you think that would make for a good episode, please tell me about it via email at podcast@phantomhistory.com. And, as always, thanks for listening.